A reading from the 25th chapter of Matthew. Jesus said, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you naked, gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? When? And the king will answer them, truly, I tell you, just as you did it to the least one of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me. And from the letter of Paul to the Romans, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The dangerous act of worship, the inseparability of worship and service. What does this look like? What does the dangerous act of worship actually look like? So that we can kind of begin to wrap our hands and hearts and minds around it. Thank you, Gary, for choosing We Are an Offering, written by a very dear old friend of mine, Dwight Lyles, who was a staff writer for me at Starsong for a number of years. I'm convinced that Dwight can write a perfect song for any setting, any situation. I told Dwight a while back, I'd never thought to tell him this, but at St. Bartholomew's Episcopal, where my wife Janet and our two daughters and I worshiped for, 15 years or so, we got, during a season in the 90s, using We Are an Offering kind of in the place of the doxology. And this wonderful thing converged at this point in the service when the offering plates had been passed and our tithes and offerings had been placed in them. And when it was time for everyone to stand, when we would typically have sung, Praise God from whom all blessings flow, we began to sing Dwight's song, We Are an Offering. And we did this for months, maybe several years in the 90s. And you had this visual of the ushers coming forward with the plates of the money gifts. You had two people, one person on each side of a big basket of non-perishable food items that had been brought to share with St. Luke's Community Center in Nashville. Peanut butter and bags of rice and whatever, oatmeal. And you also had the bread and the wine coming up and brought all to the altar. All these things converged. Money, non-perishable food items, bread and wine. And we're all standing there with our hands lifted singing, we lift our hands, we lift our lives. We are an offering. As all these things converged. And it was just the most amazing physical demonstration, a sensing of giving the tangible parts of what we are. The thing that makes the act of worship dangerous is getting the physical body involved, not just the heart and mind. It is very much a business of the heart. It's very much a business of the mind, but it's very much a business of the body, the physical body. That's one of the reasons that I love to have dance and bodily movement in worship. I just met a new friend this morning, Marcia Staples, who's going to lead us in some dance or dance, show us some dance this week. I love that because it reminds us that the Lord wants us to present our bodies as well as our hearts and minds as a living sacrifice. And it's through our bodies that we reach out and touch other people. Cornel West says, I think this is a brilliant quote, that never forget, justice is what love looks like in public. Justice is what love looks like in public. You know, I would also add to that, Jim quoted in the presidential address another dear friend, Pete Furler, who wrote, when you get what you don't deserve, mercy, grace, when you get what you don't deserve, grace, that's a real good thing. And when you don't get what you do deserve, you get mercy, that's a real good thing too. Well, justice is a real good thing, but sometimes I think mercy is what love looks like in public. Mercy can also be what love looks like in public. Dallas Willard, in his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, goes through the various disciplines, historical spiritual disciplines. It's a great book if you've never read it. Fasting, solitude, service. And interestingly enough, he also includes celebration or feasting as an act of spiritual discipline. Fasting, solitude, service, celebration, or feasting. What do those things have in common? They engage the body. And he says the reason that God gives us physical disciplines to engage the body is so that we get the whole person involved in the act of worship. We get the whole person involved in the act of discipleship. When we get the body involved, then we can actually reach out and touch somebody and do something. Jesus does the same thing in Matthew 6. A friend of mine, Thomas McKenzie, in Nashville, AMIA pastor, says this. He said, if you're a Christian, there are three things that you're going to do. Every Christian said, there are three things that you're going to do. You're going to fast, you're going to pray, and you're going to give alms. And he says, the reason that those three things are very predictable, you're going to do them if you're following Jesus, is that Jesus said in Matthew 6, when you pray, pray this way. When you fast, do it this way, not this way, not that way. When you give alms, do it this way. He didn't say, if you pray, pray like this. If you fast, fast like this. If you give alms like this. He said, when you do it, expecting that that would be the norm for us. And the thing that I think that's so important about that is he's talking about things that engage the body. They are actions. Alms, actually giving something away that someone else needs. An act of mercy. What love looks like in public. Like the Samaritan in Jesus' story, I think that we constantly are finding the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the sick, the foreigner, and the prisoner in our paths. May the Lord open our eyes to see them. You know, it's not just people who are locked in cells, physical cells, who are prisoners. And it's not just people who've missed a few meals who are experiencing some kind of desperate hunger in their hearts. And it's not just people who are dehydrated, who are in desperate need of a drink. And many of them are poor, not by choice. The culture has forced poverty upon them. May the Lord open our eyes to see Jesus in them, to see Jesus in the poor, in the hungry. Now, let's resist the temptation as the dangerous act of worship calls us to. Since the needs are so great and so many, we get befuddled by them and we don't do anything. That's the devil's trick. All we need to do is ask the Lord to open our eyes to the ones that he's putting in our paths because they're there. To open our eyes to see Jesus in them and to reach out and touch them. To reach out in mercy to that impoverished one. And touch them in Jesus' name.